It's time for the Hour of Power, where numerous churches and ministries in Western Oklahoma come together to produce a program found on the internet at therockchristianmusic.com. If you have a specific prayer request, or you would like to share about an answer to prayer in your life, text the word PRAY to 68683, then share your request. This is your connection to other Christ followers and prayer warriors. Welcome to the Hour of Power.
Good morning. You are tuned into the Hour of Power this morning. It is the most powerful hour of my day. I'm your host this morning, Monica Lovell. My grandson, Ethan, is over there running the iPad. Our guest this morning is our brother in Christ, Mr. Les German. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Fantastic.
Amen.
Good.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send that to us three ways. You can send it by email to hourofpower32@gmail.com, or you can text it. We have a phone, a text phone, y'all. You can text it to 580-485-0837, and you can still post it to our Facebook page, and we will do our best to get it on paper so that we can pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and I'll get it posted shortly after the program is ended. Our sponsor for today is Grants Auction and Realty. They don't charge you more. They make you more by itemizing and cataloging all your items. I think I covered it all, sir. Would you please pray to start us out?
Lord, we just thank you again for this time, Father, that's been sanctified, set apart for your purpose, Lord. I pray, Father, that our words will heal and not hurt. I pray, Father, help us to see people through your eyes today and not ours. Lord, again, we just ask you give each of the listeners an open heaven to hear your voice clearly. And we just praise your name. We worship you, Father, this morning, the great I am, King of kings and Lord of lords. And Lord, we just thank you for this time. We just come against any plans of the enemy. We break your power, Satan. We cancel your assignment in Jesus' name. So, Lord, we invite the angels to protect this time and this space in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All you, sir.
Well, kind of short notice, but you know me. We'll probably bounce all over the place, but maybe there'll be a nugget or two people can grasp a hold of. I was reading some things. I like C.S. Lewis.
Mm.
He was born, I think, in 1898, lived to 1964, but he wrote a lot of stuff. Chronicles of Narnia is a lot of good stuff. Screwtape Letters. I don't know if anybody's ever heard of that, but it's Satan instructing his demons on how to corrupt Christians and to get Christians off their path. But anyway, he made a comment, and I just think it's so cool. But C.S. Lewis said, "My prayer is that when I die, all hell rejoices that I am out of the fight." We have an enemy that's, John 10:10 says, we have an enemy that's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And I just, in recent light of things happening in this world, it's crazy. We Christians don't understand. I've asked the Lord a lot of times, Lord, that doesn't make sense. Why are they doing this or that? And it's just crazy. There's no common sense and blah, blah, blah. And the Lord just spoke to me, said, stop trying to figure it out. And I said, well, but Lord, he said, you're too logical and too trying to reason this. You can't, Les, you cannot figure this out because you're not on their side of the fence. I went, oh, okay. He said, evil has no limits, and you cannot explain evil. It does not make sense. So that kind of helped me trying to, you know, ranting and raving and stuff. It doesn't help. But anyway, Psalm 17 I was reading the other day, basically it says, protect us, Lord, save us from the wicked people who are trying to destroy us. And I'm just going to insert this, and our country. So we ask you, Lord, to rescue those that depend on you. We know that God never leaves us or forsakes us. And so I thank you, Lord, for that. I woke up the other morning, and the Lord just kind of spoke this to me. He said, heaven is worth telling the flesh no. Mm-hmm. Our flesh gets in the way so often, doesn't it? Like, just like with me, I was trying to figure all this stuff out, and it's like, I can't make sense of this. And the Lord just said, it's evil. You're not on their side of the fence. Okay. But we still have to tell the flesh no. We have to tell, sometimes we have to tell our emotions to get behind us, because we should be ruled by the Spirit, not by our emotions. Our emotions are fickle. We assume things that are not true. And so we can get off track really, really fast. But Psalms 139, I love that chapter. It says, throughout the Bible, it says, love our enemies. And that's sometimes very, very difficult. The flesh wants to retaliate, wants to seek revenge. And I'll be honest, I'm the first one that says, you know, hang them high anyway. But Psalm 139, everybody on the planet is here because of God's plan. Everybody has a destiny and purpose. We're given free will. And the Lord kind of spoke to me and said, some of those people that you're ranting and raving about, I've given them opportunity after opportunity to repent and come to me, but they refuse. So I said, all right, then, Lord, what am I supposed to do? He goes, just start declaring that they're going to get removed, sent home. I said, okay, Lord, remove them from the position of power and authority. This country was actually, and I won't get long history teaching, but this country was initially covenanted. We are in a covenant with our Lord. And the enemy hates us, okay? I asked Lord one time, I said, Lord, why does Satan hate us so much? And the Lord just said, well, Lucifer, you know, was an archangel. Lucifer ushered in the praise and worship to the throne room. And that's a big, big deal. He's basically the praise and worship leader in heaven. But when he wanted to, and of course Isaiah's, mentions that Satan said, I want to exalt my throne above the Most High. So Satan wanted to be worshipped. So the Lord just kind of gave me this download, and he said, when you guys worship me in spirit and in truth, he said, you guys usher in the praise and worship to my throne room. So you, in essence, have taken Satan's job. Satan hates that. But he said there's a second part that he really cannot stand. It really hates you guys. I said, what's that? And the Lord just downloaded this thought. You guys are the total focus of my love and attention. Satan wanted that. Satan wanted the attention and the worship and the adoration. But he said, you guys are the total focus of my love and attention. And Satan hates you for that. He can't believe that I have the total focus and love toward humans, flesh. He said, it's not really the flesh, it's the spirit that's living in you guys. You know, Genesis 2:17 says that God breathed the breath of life into Adam's nostrils, and Adam became a living being. Well, God didn't just put oxygen in Adam. He deposited the essence of who we are. Our spirit came from God. So we have God in us. We have that, you know, spirit and soul. Soul is more flesh, but we have that spirit that's made of the same essence of God. So I think it's quite funny that these atheists walk around, I don't believe in God. Well, they're sucking air because they have a piece of God in them. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have physical life if it wasn't for God. It's just so baffling. Sometimes it's like they don't understand it. As I say that, so Lord, we just declare and decree they're going to get revelation of your truth. Give them that open heaven so they can see your truth and stop believing the lies of the enemy. So we call those people that don't believe or just are even cold Christians, Lord, we call them into a more intimate walk with you. We call them into your kingdom in Jesus' name. I did this the other day. on a, in a group, and the Lord brought this back to mind today, so I'm going to do this today. As I'm just going to declare some things, and I want the people listening to hear this. As a man, I stand in the gap for the men in your life, be it a father, brother, grandfather, cousin, uncle, co-worker, boss, deacon, or even a pastor. I stand in the gap and I ask forgiveness for any man that made you feel worthless, made you feel stupid, made you feel betrayed, confused, disrespected you, made you feel that you were not loved. I stand in the gap and I ask forgiveness for any man that may have molested you. I stand in the gap and ask forgiveness for any man that may have abused you mentally or physically. I ask forgiveness as the man that's standing in the gap. And I ask you to forgive the men that may have brought you sin, brought you pain, sinned against you. So I just think those that are listening, I want you to repeat. Your ears need to hear these words. I just want you to repeat. Lord, I choose to be obedient to your word. And I forgive those men that you have brought to my mind. I forgive them. I now declare and decree that I'm accepted, valued, and I have a purpose and a destiny in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a kingdom advancer. I am loved. I am worthy. Lord, your word says you never leave me or forsake me. I am intelligent. I have the mind of Christ. Therefore, I declare that I understand and have a high spiritual level of insight and wisdom. Thank you, Lord Jesus. That's powerful. I tell you what, and people know this, but probably preaching to the choir, but that any unforgiveness will literally affect your physical health. If you hold unforgiveness, you have seeds of bitterness that will really grow, and I promise you this, Satan will cultivate it, Satan will water it, Satan wants a harvest from that. What basically that disunity from the Lord. Because if we hold unforgiveness, then I'm sorry, we're kind of turning our backs on what the Lord says. So Satan capitalizes on that. So anyway, I thank you, Lord, for the people that participated. And again, I just pray, Father, freedom and release from any unforgiveness, any trauma from any man that has caused him pain, physical or emotional. In Jesus' name. So now your job is this, to resist the enemy. If the enemy tries to send these video clips of past events in your life, sinned against you, if he wants to try to replay that, you just shut the door. I literally can, in my mind's eye, I hear this door slamming. And will not entertain those negative thoughts. I slam the door. I literally hear this door slam. And then I turn the tables on the enemy. Just not going to take it. Paul writes in Corinthians, we are to take captive all thoughts. And I forget this guy's name, but there is a Christian psychologist that calls it a T-cycle, T-E-A. He said it starts with a thought. We dwell on the thoughts, turns into emotions. We dwell on the emotions, then it turns into actions. It doesn't have to be negative. It can be very positive. But that's kind of how the process is enacted. Thoughts, emotions, actions. So just if it's negative, I'm sorry, just shut the door. Slam the door. Hear that door slam in your mind. And just refuse to accept any negative thoughts. Turn the and in that, turn the tables on the enemy. Now, with everything that we are facing in this country, and I can go through a litany of things, you know, economy and just all kinds of crazy stuff going on that we Christians just cannot understand. But here's what the Lord said. Told me. He said, focus on your blessings. He said, smile. Stop frowning. The Bible says to bless and not curse. So what's the deal? Smile and don't frown. If you smile, if you force yourself to smile, I think you're resisting the enemy. I really do. So, if you smile, you have instantly, I think you have a different countenance. You have a different view on things. But that, I think, is resisting the enemy. And stay focused on your blessings. I know that's hard. A lot of you are struggling to even pay bills. But God's got this. Just keep pressing into the Lord. He's just, I know it's difficult. I know there's some things that it feels like a curse on you, and it probably is. Deuteronomy 11:26-28 basically says, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. Choose the blessing. Focus on your blessing. Romans 12:14 says, bless them that persecute you. That's what I'm saying, bless, not curse. I believe in the spirit realm. If I speak out a blessing, angels are released to go help them. A few times I've literally in my mind, I don't know what you call it, a vision or whatever, but I've done that. And Lord, I just had this thought and this picture of these angels like in starting blocks, like a track meet, waiting for God to release them. And we, as Christians, sons and daughters of the Most High God, we have authority. So when I bless, God releases angels to go help those people or that situation. If I curse, if I speak ill of someone, if I gossip, if I go to the negative, if I jump in that negative ditch, Satan goes, look at what Les said or did. I have authority now to release demons to be with that, to hurt that person, that situation, to mess things up. And I inquired the Lord. I said, Lord, what's going on here? And the Lord said, Les, you got to understand something. You're made in my image. So what you speak, you create. And your words and your actions sometimes tie my own hands. But I said, but you're God. He said, I know, but I can't break my own rules.
Nope. Come on.
So your words and your actions will create your future. And so I want you, that's why in Romans he talks about blessed and not cursed people. So if we bless, we're blessed. I don't bless others to be blessed. I bless others because that's my job. That's what I'm called for. Yeah, I want to see Christians step up to the plate and understand that they have a reason, not just going to work every day, coming home, and then going, God, the Lord spoke to me a few years ago and said, I'm sick and tired of my Christians, my family, my army, sitting on the pews 2 hours every Sunday morning thinking that's doing the stuff. I have called you 24/7 to advance my kingdom, to aggressively advance my kingdom. Not to be militant, but to be militant toward the evil, toward the dark kingdom. And I told a young man the other day, I said, it takes a bigger man, and I'll include ladies, it takes a bigger, stronger person to follow the Lord Jesus Christ than to follow the world. And boy, that really hit home with this guy. He really did. He became a Christian that day. I led him to the Lord. Thank you, Father. Bless him. And I called him about 3 hours later to check on him. Okay? It goes right to his voicemail. I went, oh, well, whatever. He's probably busy or something. Well, anyway, he calls me within a minute or so, and he goes, man, I'm sorry, Les. I saw that you'd call me, but I was talking to my cousin about the Lord. So here he is, a brand new Christian, 3 hours later, witnessing to his cousin.
Already.
That is so God, isn't it? Oh, gosh, I get goosebumps thinking about that. But that was so cool. So my point is, God is harvesting. I feel there's going to be such an outpour of the Holy Spirit, and a lot of other people have said this, but I've thought, my wife and I have talked about it for, I don't know, last two or three years. I feel that the outpouring of the Holy Spirit is going to be so phenomenal, so overwhelming, that people are going to get hit with reality. And they're not going to understand where this is coming from. So we as Christians, I'm just telling y'all that we are going to be called into service. We're going to need to disciple these people. Even some that we would consider unloved, not lovable, or I should say. Hard to love, maybe I should say that. But a lot of people are going to get hit with reality. And once you encounter the Holy Spirit, you can't deny that he exists. I mean, you can't say, well, no. I read an article. This lady, this Muslim lady, was raised in a Muslim family and came to the States, has a good job, well-educated, you know, all that, but it was just getting to her, and I'm not going to judge or anything, but she just basically was kind of on her last leg as far as the religion that she was brought up in. And she had some Christians that was speaking to her. But here's the deal, and people can believe this or not, but I've heard this from multiple people. Similar situations. She was at her wit's end and just said, Jesus, if you're real, I want to know it. Jesus appeared to her right there in her apartment. Now, when you have an encounter with Jesus and he shows up in the physical right in front of you, there's no denying that he exists. Yeah. Well, needless to say, she is now writing songs to honor and to glorify and to worship the Lord Jesus Christ. Turned her life 180 degrees. So I praise the Lord for that. So my point is, the Lord is showing up in various ways, visions, dreams, or whatever, appearing to people in their apartments. I love it. I love it. So I just feel that the Spirit is moving. I think there's going to be an outpour of the Holy Spirit. You know, my cup runneth over, sort of thing. And people will not deny it. But us Christians got to have to step up to the plate and disciple, teach these people. Because reality is going to slap them in the face, and they will not have to. They don't have a clue how to react. And another thing, too, I'm afraid when that happens, a lot of people, I say that. I don't know. I don't want people to deny that. I don't want people to reject him. So we need to be praying against the enemy that would try to tell them just to cancel their own ticket, commit suicide, just get it. Yeah. Because they don't know which way to turn. They don't know what's real. They've been believing a lie all their lives, and now they're hit with the truth. It's like, what? So be ready, church. Be ready. Because we're going to be called into a deeper level of service. So But praise the Lord. Let me say, here in this office, I see Ephesians 6 posted on the wall. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplications for all saints. Let me expound on something real quick. Lord showed me this. The shield of faith extinguishes the fiery darts of the enemy. So what are fiery darts? Usually words or events that the Satan wants to orchestrate and manipulate to make us believe a lie. That we're not worthy, we're not smart, we're not this, we're not that, whatever. And unfortunately, he uses people a lot of times to send those flaming arrows, which are words. And the old statement, sticks and stones will break the bones, but words will never hurt. That's a lie straight from hell, because words do hurt. Why is that? Why do words hurt? Well, because matter, us physically, matter responds to energy. So what's the spoken word? Sound waves, energy. So, yes, the words do hurt. Words of discouragement or words of encouragement can literally change a person's path in life. And so, but anyway, so shield of faith extinguishes the fiery darts of the enemy. And the sword of the Spirit is the word of God. Now let me say this. Jesus used the word of God as a weapon against the enemy. When he was tempted in the wilderness, you know, and he was brought up on that mountain, and Satan said, bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all these kingdoms. I love this. Jesus locked and loaded. He said, it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. So Satan departed. Jesus used the word of God as a weapon. So here's my whole point. Say all that to say this. If someone causes you, and I'm just going to use this example. So let's say somebody walks in this room and calls me an idiot. Well, at one time that would have fired me up. We'd have had a problem probably, because my flesh wanted to retaliate. But now I understand that person that called me an idiot, that flesh, that person is not my enemy. It's the devil. It's the dadgum demons on his shoulder that's telling him to say this, do this. That's my enemy, not the person. So now if a guy comes walking in and said, Les, you're an idiot, I'd probably laugh at him. Because guess where that's coming from? That's not coming from heaven. It's coming from the dark kingdom. Why would I let the dark kingdom influence me, cause me to sin? No, not going to do it. So I envision, in my mind's eye, I hold up my shield of faith, and it covers me head to toe. And I even have told children, I said, yeah, I don't care if you grow to 6 feet, 6 inches, it's going to grow with you. That shield of faith is going to grow with you. It will totally shield you from the wiles of the enemy. So I hold that shield of faith up, and I simply tell myself, I don't receive it. And then, what's the sword of the Spirit? That's offense. The shield is defense. The sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, that's offense. That's what Jesus used. So here is the situation. Guy comes in and says, Les, you're an idiot. I will smile And in my mind's eye, I see myself holding that shield. And I simply tell myself, I don't receive it. And then I see myself with this flaming sword, and I say, but I bless him in Jesus' name. Now, let me just say this. I have taught this to several people. Let me just... I had a lady that we were counseling a couple, and she worked at a restaurant and was being accused of all kinds of things she didn't do. She said, I need the income. I need the job. But my boss is driving me crazy, accusing me of things I didn't do. So I taught her this, okay? A couple of days later at the restaurant, she's telling me later, this is so God. I love it. Her boss starts ranting and raving, and I don't know if she was cussing, but yelling at her anyway. Again, accusing her of stuff she didn't do. And so this gal, she doesn't just keep it in her head. She literally speaks this out. She puts her hand, the open face, the open palm of her hand towards her boss, and says out loud, I don't receive that. And with the other hand, kind of a knife blade, kind of a action with her hand, she said, I don't receive it, but I bless you in Jesus' name. Her boss opened her mouth to say something else, and nothing came out. So what's the point in all this? Well, I'll tell you what happened. She used the weapons of spiritual warfare that God's given us. She did it God's way. So in essence, when she said, I don't receive it, but I bless you in Jesus' name, that demon on the shoulder of her boss was knocked off. And it rendered her boss speechless. I love it. Her and her boss are good friends now. Go figure. Isn't that God?
Look at what God can do.
Oh, I tell you what.
Talk about turning things around.
Absolutely.
Would now be a good time for some prayer requests, Mr. Les?
Can I start with my granddaughter?